Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. We have a powerful program for you today, always beginning with the latest on health and healing. We're going to have a study from Penn State University that shows us that peanuts, organic peanuts, of course, and herbs and spices may positively impact your gut microbiome, meaning the good bacteria. Clean foods, healthy bacteria. Healthy bacteria, strong immune system. Strong immune system, less susceptible to the kind of diseases that we manifest because of not paying attention to the little things. Years ago, there was a book that was very popular, and it was about don't sweat the small stuff and everything small stuff. I believe it's just the opposite. When we take care of the small stuff, it doesn't accumulate into something that makes it more challenging to deal with. So when we cheat and we say it's no big deal, may not be in that moment, but where's it leading? And wherever it's leading, that's when we end up tipping, and we tipped with a disease or some infirmary or something wrong. So let's just do what we can to make the little things important. Take care of them. It's like you put one dish in the sink and you don't clean it after dinner. It's still there in the morning. And then you put two in. Next thing you know, you got a sink that's filled with old, dirty dishes. Cockroaches love that. But also, when you wake up in the morning, you make your bed. And you make it like you really care about that's your bed. That's where you're going to spend about one-third of your life. Shouldn't it be clean? Cleaning the sheets every other day because of the bacteria, the different sebum oils, and all the dead skin that sloughs off. Yeah, if you looked at your pillow or your sheets under a microscope, you go, wow, all that's on there? Yeah, it is. So you care about the little things. You care about simply proper hygiene, making sure you wash your hands when you walk inside, take some alcohol or hydrogen peroxide to spray all the doorknobs, the television remote control, your keyboard. If you're watching right now, and we video stream this health segment every day, then you should say, gee whiz, you know, is there anything here that could be contaminating me that I shouldn't have in my body? The answer is yes. You take everything from outside inside. You're in a subway, you're you're holding on to the bar or the strap. That's contaminated. You don't know who's been holding it before and what they've done as far as coughing their hand and putting it up there. So let's just be practical. Simple hygiene. Now, Penn State University has a study. It's about peanuts, and hopefully you would only use organic peanuts and herbs and spices that will make a very positive outcome on the good bacteria, what is called the microbiome, meaning the microorganisms at your good bacteria and the lining of your intestine. And that's when this wonderful natural alchemy that really works versus the old-time alchemy of turning lead into silver, didn't work, or gold, this does work. Clean diet, good bacteria. Good bacteria, healthy immune system. Healthy immune system, less likely to succumb, be hospitalized, or have a serious outcome of a disease. You may get the disease, but your immune system's ultimately what determines how bad it will be or not. So if I'm having my juices in the morning, taking the right supplements, eating the healthy diet, doing modified fasting every day, then if I'm on an airplane, even with the shield that I wear across my face, a plastic shield, a visor, protects my face, and then I wear an ionizer, in fact, two of them when I'm on a plane, that creates the negative ions that trap particulate matter in the air, preventing me from breathing it in, then why wear gloves on the plane, so anything I'm touching, I'm not going to touch my nose or eyes. By the way, you touch your mouth, nose, and eyes hundreds, if not thousands of times a day. So just imagine whatever's on your hands, under your fingernails, is now on your face, the three mucous membranes, the mouth, the nose, the eyes. That's how most things enter the body. Simple precautions. Simple. And that way you're not getting yourself sick. In any case, adding a daily ounce, 1 ounce of peanuts or about a teaspoon of herbs and spices to your diet can affect the composition of the gut microbiome, an indicator of overall health. This according to Penn State, two separate studies, nutritional scientists studied the effects of small changes to the average American's diet and found improvements in the gut microbiome. Research has shown that people who have a lot of different microbes have better health and a better diet than those who don't. And the professor, Professor Hugh, professor of nutrition science at Penn State, and for the peanut study, which was published in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition, they found that 28 grams, which is 1 ounce, of peanuts a day, and that made all the difference in the world. At the end of 6 weeks, participants who ate the peanut every day, 1 ounce, you can eat more than that, but just 1 ounce, it's a good source of bacteria, protein also, you had healthier bacteria, and that helped liver metabolism and immune function. And the herbs and spices were published in a separate article, the Journal of Nutrition. And they analyzed a blend of herbs and spices like cinnamon, ginger, cumin, turmeric, rosemary, oregano, basil, and thyme. I'm hopeful you have all those in your kitchen or using them. And it showed that that can lower your risk of cardiovascular disease. And it doesn't take a lot, about an eighth of a teaspoon per day. That's very small. All right? So some herbs and peanuts. Good bacteria, healthy heart, healthy immune system, all terrific for you. Now, another study is on cacao, C-O-C-O-A, and the flavanols, which are in it. Those are the healing nutrients, and it boosts your skin health from within over 24 weeks. This is from the Seoul National University in South Korea. So what they're saying is that a high flavanol cacao, meaning just taking some chocolate, maybe an ounce or two each day, has a positive impact on facial wrinkles and skin elasticity in photo-aged Korean women. And that's important. 24 weeks of consuming 320 milligrams per day of cacao flavonoids were associated with a substantial improvement in skin roughness and compared to a placebo group. In fact, it was like 800% better. This was published in the Journal of Nutrition. And so photo-aged women, regular flavonoid consumption smooths out the wrinkles, makes it more pliable. Now imagine if they took in quercetin and vitamin C. That would also help reduce ultraviolet-induced damage from the sun. I'm sure, like myself, when you've gone to a concert, whatever instrument that you're seeing and listening to being played, you have a special appreciation because you know that not only is it providing you with something that's relaxing, stimulating, pleasant to hear, but you know the discipline it took to master that. So now, the University of Bath, which is in the United Kingdom, found that playing the piano boosts your brain processing power and helps you lift the blues. Yeah, a new study published by research from the University of Bath demonstrates the positive impact learning to play a musical instrument. You could play the guitar, the banjo, you know, the piano, the flute, whatever you want to play, but it helps your brain's ability to process sights and sounds and shows how it can also help it lift a blue mood. These were published in Scientific Reports, the peer-reviewed journal. And that's just good. It took 11 weeks that they learned these lessons. It doesn't make you a master musician, but it's enough to significantly improve recognizing audiovisual changes in the environment and being less depressed, less stressed, and less anxious. And this was a randomized controlled study of people who were not musicians, but who enjoyed listening to music and compared to a control group. So why not take up learning how to play an instrument? It's not that difficult. just takes some focus, discipline, and intent. But the results could be substantial. What is one of the things we all dread, but we all experience, sometimes multiple times in life, and sometimes when we're least prepared to deal with it, we're struck with it? Loneliness. Loneliness is an epidemic. I saw this long ago when I taught at the New School for Social Research, adult continuing education classes. My classes were packed. And I'm in my 20s, I'm a young guy, and I'm seeing a lot of people in middle age or older. Didn't see a lot of young people. And one day after class, one of the people who were there came over and said, I'm moving, I'm going to miss this class. I just want to let you know that it was an important class. I said, well, what'd you learn from the class? She said, not a lot. I said, why not? There was an awful lot of information. She said, I didn't come for the information. I'll be honest with you. I live in Huntington, Long Island. I'm married to a physician who is married to his work. As a result, everything that we shared at one time in life that was important and passion and joy and creativity, we haven't shared that in probably the last 15 years. The more successful he becomes, the less time we spend, and all he has all these social obligations and professional obligations, and there's just no real relationship there. And I have two children who are grown, and so what do I do each day? She said, I'm lonely. And she said, so I come in here, and I enjoy being here. You're positive energy. You make everyone in the class feel good. You use a lot of humor. And she said, but I'm not the only one, because after this, a group of us from the class, and by the way, there are only women in the class. I mean, every class, no men. And she said, we go out and we have a lunch, and we talk, and we're all lonely. Now, we don't show it, we don't talk about it, but it's something we feel, and you deal with it until you figure out how to change it. And that was it. And for a young guy, still learning a lot about life and needing input from other people so they can show what it's like to be in their shoes, because you can't always tell by looking at someone or speaking with someone in a superficial manner that we do today, and certainly not over the networks and the social platforms, what it means to be the other. So right now, when you consider the long, nearly 3 years of social isolation and condemnation for those who are not vaccinated, what it means to be alone, possibly for the first time in your life, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a pet, the loss of a friendship, the loss of being able to communicate with your family in a positive way if they think you're that loon, that crazy person who's putting everyone else at risk because their self-righteous needs for health instead of doing what everyone else did. Get vaccinated, socialize, go out and be a part of society. And then we just had this whole idea in our society. It's not exclusive to our society, but it's unique. Because historically, when you got older, you had a large family, so you never lost the connection of being wanted, appreciated, loved, and respected. Finally today, grapes. Grapes can help protect against ultraviolet damage, so says Western New England University. Antioxidants are one of the nutrients in the ORAC, that meaning the total number of antioxidants in food, that have a protective effect, and one of the best of those are grapes. So grapes protect us against ultraviolet exposure in the skin of human volunteers. And so have some grapes each day, and it will protect your heart, it will protect your immune system, and it also protects your skin. So something simple, see? Not always complicated. Oh, and by the way, stay away from fluoridated water. It will calcify, harden your arteries. In Spain, the University of Zaragoza did a study showing that fluoridated water, the amount one part per million that we consume in the United States, it is really bad for you. Or you can go to GaryNoll.com, download articles, look under the fluoride fiasco. I keep updating that article. I wrote it over 45 years ago, and every 3 or 4 months I update it. All new stuff, all showing fluoride is bad. Don't use fluoride toothpaste, fluoride mouthwash, and don't have fluoride treatments in your mouth for you or your children, because it really is bad for you. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break and then continue with our program. And for those of you who just want to watch or listen to the health and nutrition part, you can get this every single day. Go to GaryNall.com, scroll down to newsletter, sign up for the newsletter. It's on your computer. John LaBelle, who is volunteering to do this, he called, wanted to do it. We did one 40 years ago, won a laptop award for best newsletter. That was way back when. I still have those old newsletters. We did over 100 of them. Well, we're over 100 now, and we're just getting started. And recipes and important lectures, essays, and everything on health and healing is on there every day in detail. All right? And also, a lot of video clips are up on Rumble. Go to Rumble. Got a lot of videos up there. And also GaryNoll.com and PRN.live. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us today. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to play a short clip, very short. This is from Joe Biden about the bombing of Yugoslavia and about the Serbs and about how he was proud of his participation of this. Well, there are a lot of different points of view on Serbia and the Clintons and what was behind it, what was the real motives, what was the outcome, and how controlled was the media on that. This is just to remind you, a person that tells us what we should be doing in Ukraine has a history. Here's a part of that history. It's only a minute and 26 seconds long.
We bomb Belgrade. I was suggesting that we send American pilots in and blow up all the bridges on the Drina. I was suggesting we take out his oil supplies. I was suggesting very specific action.
That's not total victory. That's not the victory I want. That's not the victory John wants. I've been saying we should go into on the ground. We should announce there's going to be American casualties. We should go to Belgrade and we should have a Japanese, German-style occupation of that country.
Why, some of you ask, have I been so relentless on Serbia and Kustanica, who I do not trust? Why have I been so persistent in not providing aid for the people of Serbia, who are many good people? Why? Because until they look in their hearts, they can never cure themselves of the disease that they are the oppressed. And as long as they operate on that standard, this cycle will continue and continue and continue. So that's why, not for vengeance, but for release, that it's necessary for them to look the devil in the eye.
And who exactly was the devil? Didn't Bill Clinton have a similar idea? And didn't his generals in the Defense Department, against all international treaties, bomb civilian infrastructure, such as water and electric, knowing? In fact, it was I saw the declassified emails on this, where they planned on having enough Iraqi children get sick and die that the people would then realize they had to be responsible for overthrowing the tyrant Saddam Hussein. Well, that didn't work. Of course, and Saddam Hussein had plenty of food, plenty of clean water for all of his troops and the higher-ups, but the average person didn't. So at least 500,000 children died. And when Madeleine Albright was challenged on this by Leslie Stahl in 60 Minutes, is it worth it? She said, yeah, it's worth it. And that's the kind of mindset that has controlled Washington, D.C.'s foreign policy ever since. And even before. So do you see, nothing has changed. Nothing at all. I want you to hear what someone has to say. This is a man named Gerald Rennick, R-E-N-N-I-C-K. He's a member of the Australian Parliament. He is outspoken about what the science has actually shown and the mistakes made by governments, starting with the United States, because Australia followed the United States and China. And rarely do you have a person who is able to tell the truth. And you see it, if you're watching it, and please watch this, go to parn.live, scroll down, you'll see how you can watch this on the archives, my program, and in real time. And he called him out. Do we have people in our own Congress willing to call out? Did we at any time have the people in Congress protest the mandates, what was done? Here he is. Tell me what you think.
We are the end of 2022, and we've had over 10 million cases of COVID. The Australian Health Department, of course, stopped counting around September sometime because I think it was getting too embarrassing to admit that despite with over 20 million people being vaccinated, over half the country had caught COVID. Whatever happened to protecting you? Whatever happened to protecting you? But we don't want to talk about that anymore. We'll just pull it off the website and not discuss it. We'll not discuss it. And then we've got the excess deaths that Senator Babbitt talked about before. We had 8,706 extra deaths last year, despite the fact that New South Wales locked down for 3 months. So in theory, the deaths should have been lower, like they were in 2020. But let's not count 2021 in the ABS figures. Or sorry, 2020, they're not counting. Let's pretend nothing happened there. Almost 140,000 jab injuries. More than all the injuries reported from vaccines since 1971. More than all the injuries put together. You've got an injury rate that's three times higher, and yet the TGA don't want to look at the signal. The whole point of having a database where doctors report these injuries, where they tick the box suspected, and as the doctors say, they don't fill these forms out because they don't have the spare time. They don't have a lazy 20 or 30 minutes sitting around filling these forms out if someone fell off a bike. No, they're ticking these boxes because they believe that the vaccine caused the injury that they are reporting. And yet the TGA want to pretend that there's nothing to see here. And why wouldn't they? Because Professor Skerritt is head of an organisation that is funded by Big Pharma. That is funded by Big Pharma. Now, if you want to talk about a conflict of interest, that's it. That's it. And these guys have no idea what they are talking about. I asked Professor Brendan Murphy, who was the chief health officer at the time, whether or not he'd actually read the non-clinical report into the Pfizer vaccine. Guess what? He hadn't read it. Despite that, he'd been saying for the last a couple of days earlier that the spike protein wasn't in the blood. Well, had he read the report, he would have known that they never even tested the spike protein. And they would have also known that when they did the animal trials, that the report said there was no difference in lung inflammation between the placebo group and the vaccinated group after 9 days. There was not one skerrick of evidence that showed that that vaccine was effective. But did anyone in this chamber right here, right now, actually read that report? I bet you not. But you all went out there and said it was safe and effective where you didn't have a clue what you were talking about. And shame on you. Because the law in this country, in the Australian Immunisation Register, says you cannot be coerced into taking a vaccine, number one. And number two is that you need to be properly informed about what is in the vaccine. Now, you've got to dig very far to get to the bottom of this stuff. But that spike protein in the vaccine isn't even the same as the spike protein in the virus. No. They've actually changed one of the nucleotides, and they've actually got a synthetic gene in the vaccine. They've added 70 adenine nucleotides to the poly-A tail, which is designed to make it last longer. It's designed to last longer. The mRNA in the trials was shown to last for up to 9 days. The lipids were shown to last at least 2 days, and they stopped the trials, despite the fact that it doubled Yeah, listen to this, Senator Hanson-Young. Despite the fact that the concentration of the lipids that are cationic, were doubled in the ovaries from day one to day two, you know what they did? They stopped the trial. They stopped the trial and they went and told everyone that it just stays at the site of injection. Well, that was a blatant lie. If you want to talk about misinformation, go and check out page 44 of the Pfizer non-clinical trial report. It was released on the TGA-FIO disclosure log, 239-6. I've read it numerous times. And guess what? You should also read the top paragraph of page 8 that says that the study suggests that the spike protein can be either inserted into the membrane or secreted from the cell. Now, what does that tell you? I'll tell you what that tells you. It tells you that rather than actually killing the actual pathogen, which is what a normal vaccine would have done, this particular vaccine goes inside your cell, takes over the reproduction, the ribosomes, which is what produces the protein, and then starts producing more of the toxic substance. That is not the name of the game. You want to actually kill the virus. You do not want to reproduce it. And of course, Brendan Murphy, the chief health officer, claims that there's nothing to worry about. He never read the document. And then we've got Professor Kelly. Of course, he came out and made the bold statement that it stops transmission. Well, he was lying, because the FDA came out in December 20 and said that there was no evidence that the vaccine stopped transmission. And when I pressed him on it, there's no trials to show that there's any IgA in the mucosal system. Okay, you don't have to take my word for it. Go and speak to Robert Clancy, Australia's foremost immunologist and vaccinologist. Okay, he's retired. You can trust this guy. He's not on the take from Big Pharma or the big universities that aren't actually interested in research. They're just interested in lining their own pockets. And then, of course, we've got the vaccine injury scheme, which is just a joke. And today and last night and day after day for the last 15 months, I get contacted by people who have had their lives destroyed by this vaccine, a vaccine that the government said was safe and effective. And if that isn't bad enough, that these people, and I'm looking at you people in this chamber here today, didn't read the documents, that took over someone else's body because it suited your narrative, your command and control narrative, you showed no humanity. No humanity. There are people out there that have not only injured, they have lost their job.
Good for him. Everything he said was completely accurate. And of course, remember, it was Australia that had the quarantine camps, literally like a detention camp, not a concentration camp. We're not going there. In these detention camps, you could not leave. You were assigned to a single room, a small room, and it was like a long bunker, a bunch of these. You could go out onto a tiny little porch, probably 8 foot by 8 foot, and you could stand there, but you could not go over a line to visit with your neighbor. Your food was brought to you, institutional food. You had no way of communicating with the world. They put people who were unvaccinated in there, even though they tested under the government supervision repeatedly. One woman in particular, 3 times, she tested negative. She tested in her blood work negative. She didn't have COVID. She wasn't carrying any virus in her body. And yet they put her in there. When she tried to protest, they doubled her length of stay there. In effect, she was in a form of containment she could not get out of. So this is where they put the dissidents. This is where they put the people who were talking out. And all that was for nothing, because nothing in the protocols that were given around the world was honest. And now we're seeing the consequences. And I have a really strong two-part series coming at you this week where two great physicians and scientists, MD, PhD, Ryan Cole, and Dr. Kelly Victory, are talking and showing graphs. They actually have now the photographs of what's in that kind of calamari-tailed looking blockage. And he's finally identified what it is, how dangerous it is, and he shows you in the slides what was taken out of people who are still alive. So they were able to get it out. But he also showed when they took a sample of blood and left it and watched it, it grew those particles. Now that really throws a whole new dimension in. And imagine if you went to a blood bank today. Did the blood bank not take blood from people who've been vaccinated? Because if you get the blood of someone who's been vaccinated, that could go into your body. So there should be a major independent health analysis done of the danger of blood if you've been vaccinated. Just like when people had HIV infection, even if they were asymptomatic, they couldn't get blood. But that was later. Earlier, they were. People with hepatitis were also allowed to give blood. Derelicts on the street were able to support themselves by giving blood. So these are the things that we're not paying attention to that we should. Now, on Friday night, Elon Musk gave thousands of Twitter feeds from internal employees, clear up to the very top, to Matt Taibbi, and to report on this. He was not to editorialize, rather he was simply to show what was being discussed, by whom it was discussed, or with whom, and what was being said, and what came out initially. And these are just initial, is that people within Twitter, a lot of people within Twitter, thousands of people within Twitter, clear up to the top, except not for Jack Dorsey. For some reason, we don't know yet, he was kept out of all this. Whether he was kept out because he would have protested or kept out as a plausible deniability, we don't know that yet. And in time, we'll find out. But now for the first time, and this is why this is important, I'm going to ask you to call in and share your points of view. For the first time, we can say absolutely, unequivocally, that both Google, Facebook, Twitter have all met privately, frequently secretly, with the Biden administration and its officials, with members of the deep state, including the CIA, and hence were coached and told what was allowed and what was to be called disinformation and prevented from getting on. Even if what was on there was completely accurate and represented no threat, it was still to be barred. If you were an individual like Robert F. Kennedy or a lot of people, you couldn't get on. Now, if Twitter wants to do that on its own volition, that cannot be challenged as a breach of freedom of speech. However, very clear on this, when a federal agency consorts with a private industry to protect certain people within corporate or government agencies, and does so with the authority of the government pressure, meaning you don't publish this, you don't allow an article that challenges COVID, challenges vaccines, challenges remdesivir, or promotes ivermectin, you can't allow that. And the people said, okay, and immediately those people went to work. That's what their own emails are showing. And that's just the beginning. And that's not the worst that we're going to see. So now, even for the most naive, even for the intellectual zombies that we have in academia, even for the hardcore political anarchist, the people who, no matter what truth is given, they must reject it because it would then show poorly upon their own capacity for cognitive awareness and independent thinking. And that's what we have in the United States today in a large number of people. I don't believe anything will change because of this, because I don't believe that the people who have been found guilty are willing to acknowledge that guilt, nor at any time apologize, because up to this point, have you heard anyone apologize? If you have, let me know who apologized for the Vietnam War, the Korean War, 69 different regime changes around the world where the CIA was assassinating people. Let me know about that. Has anyone apologized in Fauci's office? No, and they're not going to, because in this case, if we can show that they were wrong and knew they were wrong, then they're no longer indemnified by government contracts that prevent all employees from being fired or sued. in effect, they're judgment proof, unless they intentionally, with malice forethought, knowingly broke the law. If they did that, then they can be sued. And I believe all these people can be sued. I also believe a lot of journalists are going to be sued. I'm in touch with a lot of lawyers and a lot of people who are preparing massive lawsuits right now, and it's all tumbling out. So here is a short clip. It's a longer version, but I'm just taking a short clip of what is called the media's deranged hysteria over Elon Musk's restoration of free speech, Glenn Greenwald. Now, mind you, Elon Musk is not a conservative. He's simply allowing a forum to be what originally was, a forum for free speech. Will you be able to go on there and make anti-Semitic statements? No. The same rules that applied at the beginning are now being reinstituted. And so we have a forum, at least one and only one major forum that reaches people, that people can go on who have contrary or different points of view and make their presentation. You could agree or disagree, but at least you have a forum where it's not one-sided, because right now, all the media, one-sided. All of the three branches of government, one-sided. All of the scientific community, one-sided, at least those that receive money from Anthony Fauci, governmental agencies, Big Pharma. Corporate America, one-sided. Medical community, one-sided. Nursing community, one-sided. Peer-reviewed journals, one-sided. So you have virtually 99% of everything that you are spoon-fed as propaganda and lies, pure disinformation on one side, and now you have one voice allowing one forum to tell the truth. And they've lost their minds because of that. That's how much control they've had over you. And we'll go a little further on that in a little bit. Let's now hear why this is important to all of us. Because remember, all these agencies, all these people, they have been also connected with the World Economic Forum, their Great Reset, or their New Reset, and that's just taking us one step closer to having no control over our own lives or opinions. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who want to know how, on the one hand, Elon Musk can be very concerned about artificial intelligence, well, on one hand, he is, but on the other hand, his company is now ready to start implanting, actually doing studies, implanting this chip into people's brains. Now, he's putting a good spin on it. He said he'd even allow his own children to have this chip in the brain. That's your choice, but what about all the people who don't want that chip? And what happens when regulatory agencies say that they had the power? You don't. If they believe that you are not getting your vaccine, they now want to classify that, get this, as a new mental illness. Yes. No matter what your reason for not getting a vaccine, if you don't get it, even though now the dying and the hospitalization and all these strange blood clots occurring, that's in the vaccinated. The more vaccines, the more likely you are to have adverse effects or even death. So imagine all of the distemperament, the anger, the rage, the physical and emotional violence towards those who chose, through their freedom of choice, not to be vaccinated. Well, guess who was on the right side of that equation? Wow. That is unfortunate. I don't want to see anyone injured. And I have said, and I will continue to say, I support whether you vaccinate or not, but at least do your homework. Because 99% of the people did not do their homework. Doctors didn't do their homework. Scientists didn't do their homework. Congress people are not capable. They don't have the intellect. These idiots, and they are idiots, didn't do the homework. But boy, they have their pockets open for money, don't they? From advertisers and sponsors and lobbying groups. And Big Pharma's number one. Wonder how they've been protected. Well, now you know. Let's hear what Glenn Greenwald has to say.
A mild amount of free speech is restored to Twitter. Will this result in the murder of large numbers of people? If Elon Musk follows through on his promise to reduce the amount of political censorship on that platform, will large numbers of people in so-called marginalized groups end up dead as a result? There's nothing wrong with your internet connection. These questions are indeed as absurd, incoherent, and laughable as they sound. It should be impossible to pose them with anything resembling a straight face. And I will confess that in order for me to have said those questions without bursting out cackling, or at least succumbing to an ironic and contemptuous smirk, a significant amount of intellectual focus and discipline was necessary for me to get through those questions. So why am I starting our program tonight by asking such blatantly inane and moronic questions? Because these are the questions being raised by our country's largest and most influential media corporations. In fact, they are not just asking these questions, they are answering them in unison and with almost no dissent or doubt included. And their answer to those questions is a resounding yes. I know it can be hard to believe, or at least it should be hard to believe, but the wealthiest, once most prestigious, and most mainstream news organizations really are explicitly and earnestly insisting that Elon Musk is about to have large amounts of blood on his hands. Why? Because he intends to allow a broader range of political opinions and perspectives to be heard. There's nothing else to it than that. To these people, free speech is not a fundamental right. It is not the linchpin of political liberty enshrined in the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. To them, as it is to all petty tyrants and authoritarians, free speech is a danger, it is a hazard, a menace, something that frightens them to their core. They see free speech the way most people see a raging forest fire or a contagious fatal illness or a violent prison riot, not as something that is scary, fatal, and that therefore must be controlled and then extinguished at all costs. And to be fair to these censorship advocates, which I will never tire pointing out that the leaders of this pro-censorship movement are the people who call themselves journalists, a state of affairs as surreal and bizarre as if the leading advocates of more cigarette smoking were cardiologists. To be fair to them, there is a grain of truth in what they are saying. To those who seek to preserve status quo power structures, to those who rely on lies, propaganda, and disinformation campaigns to manipulate populations and entrench their own power and maintain their own status, to those who seek to live in a caste system in which only their beliefs can be heard, but no challenges to or dissent from their beliefs can be, it is true that free speech is dangerous, dangerous to those people. That's why every tyrant and despot throughout history has done what our leading media organizations are doing now, attempting with all their force to crush free speech. To those who seek the power to rule over others, the ability to deviate from their orthodoxies, to question and doubt their assertions, to present alternative ways of seeing and understanding the world is genuinely destabilizing and thus threatening to their hegemonic rule. But these media activists and their left-leaning liberal allies in Media Matters and the Anti-Defamation League and official Democratic Party circles, they don't have such high-minded thoughts. They're not analyzing and thinking about power systems and how they function in this way. The reaction to Elon Musk's preliminary loosening of Twitter censorship is purely reactionary, just deeply emotional, almost primal. And it's honestly embarrassing to watch. And while it is easy to mock and necessary to mock, as we are about to do, what they are saying, also containing within it are some deeply insidious and important and threatening propositions. These shrill and neurotic and obviously unwell media employees shrieking about all the people who will die from free speech, what they're doing unwittingly or otherwise are laying the foundation for far more serious and less frivolous people to implement still greater means of stifling dissent and shielding their propaganda from challenge.
One more minute.
Without much notice, they have already created a multi-pronged framework that is close to fully empowering them to ban all dissent from the internet. That is not hyperbole. It is not an exaggeration, as I'm about to show you. And there's nothing funny about that. The hysteria provoked by Elon Musk's announced intention to purchase Twitter and restore to it a modicum of free speech has been building for months. but two events in particular over the last week. First, Musk's decision to allow Donald Trump to return to Twitter based on the result of an online poll in which 15 million people voted.
Okay, and you can hear the whole thing's 30 minutes long. You can go to prn.live to the archives and you can hear the entire thing. One more thing that should concern us. Last week, based upon what one of the listeners said about masks, they're necessary, they're safe, they're effective. And I then presented peer-reviewed literature showing that that wasn't the case. Now, another study has just come out today. This is from Ian Miller from Gatestone Institute. Quote, the experts, end quote, have repeatedly tried to deflect from the failure of their policies with misdirection. The reason lockdowns didn't work in the United States or the United Kingdom is because they weren't strict enough, according to many in the so-called expert community. Of course, their excuses have been conveniently ignored as China's repressive zero COVID lockdowns have continued with horrific consequences. Now that mass protests have broken out in the country that the experts revered for their COVID handling, there's a massive effort to disregard their own previous advocacy. This is perhaps best exemplified by Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who clearly used authoritarian measures to suppress the protest in his own country while now supporting Chinese demonstrations, but not the demonstrators. The bewildering lack of awareness of their own hypocrisy seems to be a feature of COVID-obsessed politicians, public health officials. Another similar oft-repeated assertion is that the failure of the universal masking can be explained by the type of masks being used by the public, even though the CDC and Dr. Fauci explicitly claim that wearing anything to cover your face will be effective at preventing transmission. Many have now quietly dismissed that messaging. Fauci specifically said, quote, cloth coverings work, end quote. Not just surgical or N95s. Former Surgeon General Jerome Adams famously suggests that rolling up a T-shirt in front of your face would be effective protection. Yet public health departments and the media are now highlighting the importance of, quote, high-quality or, quote, well-fitting, end quote, masks. Their desperation to justify masking has led to remarkably poor studies being released to support their anti-science messaging. There is a new research that has been released showing that masks are ineffective regardless of type. It's not just new research, it's high-quality research. Finally, another RCT on mask wearing. Quote, the Annals of Internal Medicine just published a randomized controlled trial comparing the ability of medical masks to prevent COVID infection to fit test N95s. Importantly, this trial was conducted on healthcare workers who would be most likely to use masks appropriately to determine whether the masks, medical masks, are non-inferior to N95s, respirators to prevent COVID-19 in healthcare workers providing routine care. That trial design was also important as it was meant to determine whether or not N95 respirators were superior to regular surgical masks. They examined 29 different healthcare facilities on multiple continents from North America to Asia to Africa. The percentage of healthcare workers testing positive for COVID in each group was tracked to determine how effective or ineffective higher quality masking was in preventing infection. Unsurprisingly, the results confirm that there is essentially zero difference between surgical or N95 respirators when it comes to these tests. And then it goes on to talk about, quote, no matter how high quality your mask is, it's entirely irrelevant. The researchers also took pains to ensure that the control and treatment groups shared as many similarities as possible. They excluded workers who could not pass a fit test, had laboratory-confirmed COVID, or had received one or more doses of the vaccine with greater than 50% efficacy. Yet none of that mattered. There was no difference in outcomes between the medical and N95-level masks. And it goes down here, says, even more importantly, these disappointing results were from facilities with universal masking policies in place. Everyone in each of these facilities, quote, for all activities, was required to wear masks. It still didn't work. They even tracked potential exposure points, whether at home, in the community, or in hospital exposures. There was no difference. What's even more impressive about the futility of masking is that outside of Egypt, the observed results occurred before the more contagious Omicron variant emerged. There were substantial differences in results between countries, which indicates the impact of N95s might have been further muted had it occurred during the Omicron period. So they're saying here, quote, that you had adverse effects by wearing the masks. I won't get into that. It's a long report. And now, just to share with you some additional material on masking. And yet people continue to believe what they're told from the government authorities, and that's unfortunate. I want to give you a special today, and it's something new that I haven't done before, this one. And it's a big discount for people who are on a limited budget. This is over 60% off the full value. You're getting something that a lot of people can use. It's my own proprietary blend of what we call memory stuff. It's really unique. And with it, you're also getting, I decided to give a bottle of Fresh Breath mouthwash and also Healing the Brain Naturally documentary and Age is Only a Number documentary. But what's in the memory stuff? Listen to the superstars you're getting. Acetyl L-carnitine, ginkgo biloba, green tea extract, D-calcium pantothenate, quercetin, calcium ascorbate, magnesium citrate, thiamine, which is vitamin B1, rosemary, Eleutherococcus, which is a ginseng, flaxseed, lecithin, and organic guar gum, and cacao. It has a wonderful chocolate flavor. All right? That's in memory stuff. Ask yourself, do you need memory stuff? If you don't need it, don't get it. But a lot of people in this audience could use it. And then why should you care about the mouthwash? Because a lot of mouthwash out there has alcohol in it. They have fluoride in it. They have artificial chemicals. They have artificial sweeteners. Here's what's in my mouthwash. Spring water, xylitol, cherry, glycerin, hydrogen peroxide, potassium sorbate, menthol, vitamin C, peppermint, essential oil, olive leaf oil, clove oil, tea tree oil, echinacea, aloe vera, and golden seal. If you can find a better, healthier mouthwash, do so. But I believe this is the best of the best. And then you throw in How to Heal the Brain Naturally documentary, A to Z, with all the protocols, because people don't realize how much they can do to help their documentary. So that's our special, all right? And how do you get the special? It's not difficult. You just call Neil with the Vitamin Closet at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. You can just go online at GaryNall.com, order for yourself, and it's sent right out immediately. And or you can call our order number at 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. Ask yourself, who do you know, mother, father, siblings, in-laws, who could use memory stuff? How about sending them that as a gift for the holidays? That'd be something that would really be useful, not as useful as an ugly tie or a sweater that already has been around 7 times and the fleas are still in it. No, this is a real gift of health, memory stuff, and the mouthwash that comes with it, and the 2 documentaries. Now, if you'd like to call in and share your points of view about what you see is happening, please do so. You can call 888-874-4888. Now, let's just pull back the picture and see a larger venue. I'm going to show you tomorrow what's happening with Europe, NATO, Ukraine. Did you know that money was going from our government to Ukraine? Ukraine was then allowing BlackRock, that's the newest news today, BlackRock, to handle its investments. Investments? Since when were we supposed to be allowing oligarchs and billionaire elite class to have money that we earned and paid in taxes given to you so you can put it in the funds of the wealthiest fund management company in the world with over $10 trillion in assets, BlackRock. But also then the guy who is now in a lot of trouble with his cryptocurrency, $8 billion he said he forgot about. He overlooked it, $8 billion loss. Yeah. Well, he's given money to the Democratic Party and the president's campaign. Okay. So money goes from him. Ah, I see that circle. And now Ukrainians are investing in cryptocurrencies. Boy, that's an interesting circle. I guess just a coincidence as everything is. So if you'd like to call in, because they're making all their moves, but now we're fighting back and showing that everything they're planning on doing, everything from their artificial intelligence, transhumanism, automation, to the control over our economy, control over COVID, they control it all, that we can use our voice to say no. Give a call. Rodney, do we have any calls coming in?
And no callers, Gary.
Oh, okay. Then we will wait on that. So that's it for today. Tomorrow I've got a whole lot coming at you. I'm going to play a clip that we have only just, I just got it last night. Dr. Ryan Cole and Dr. Kelly Victory have brought together all of these slides showing you foot-long blood clots taken out of people. And it's from the vaccine, and why that's important, how many people will have this, how many people end up dying from it, we don't know. But they also talk about the heart, and they show you slides of what is, you know, the spike protein damaging the heart. And we were told that's not possible. It stays in the deltoid muscle. Well, that's not true. These spike proteins are found in every organ in the body, and they just keep reproducing. So you're going to get a real classroom on the air. It's 20 minutes long and it's in two parts. So part one will happen tomorrow. And we have a lot more coming on a lot of different topics that you should know about, because so much of the stuff now that at one time nobody would believe possible is now you're seeing the interrelationship between money, politics, and power. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.